Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, that joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, that joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
What a glorious advantage and blessing to be touched by him. And the beauty of it is, it's not just a one-time thing. It continues to touch our lives and bring us unto himself. Let us turn this morning to the 8th chapter of Romans. Again, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We would continue this series in Christ as we began so many weeks ago. Our subject today is freedom. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There are multiple aspects and multiple ramifications of our freedom in Christ, but they can be all of these deliverances, all of these freedoms that we have can actually be summed up in three major categories. Number one, we are free from sin. Number two, we are free from the flesh. And number three, we are freed from Satan. And so the first one that we want to see today, as we see here in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law or the power of sin and death. We are freed from the power of sin. There are four different ways in which we can see that freedom. We are freed from the guilt of sin. We are freed from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And one day we will be extracted from the very presence of sin when the Lord takes us home out of this world. The first thing I would see about this today is that the moment we believe on Christ, the moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we are free from guilt. We find that here once again in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that sentence should end right there. Those next words are not in the original, and they are contrary to the truth that Paul is bringing out here. And so it is a flat statement. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Again, the moment we believe on Him, the moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we have a new position, and it is in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize this fact. There is no condemnation because we are in Christ. No other reason. It's not because of our conduct or anything else that we might or might not do. The reason there's no condemnation is because we are in Christ. And this is where I fear that so many Christians fall short and they do not enjoy the glorious benefit that God has for them. They still feel guilt for their former life, and they shouldn't. There is therefore now, right now, at this present moment, no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. We would exhort people today, don't allow the enemy to condemn you or bring you into guilt because what you may have done earlier in your life. David said it this way. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. This blessedness is a life free of guilt. It tells us of joy and happiness and glory, satisfaction and peace before the Lord. And we have it the moment we believe. If only people understood and knew that there is no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. This same thing is true of the penalty of sin. Once we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, all penalty for our sin has been paid in Christ. He bore it all on the cross of Calvary, and the penalty of hell will never happen to a believer who has accepted Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation directly because we are in Christ and Jesus already took care of it. Then we come to the freedom from the power of sin. And this is what we can enjoy in our lives today. If you would turn back briefly to Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 1, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There are many that have challenged us and are just really irate at the teaching of eternal life. And the first thing you hear out of their mouths when they say, oh, you believe you have eternal life? You go out and sin all you want to, and it's just all right. That's not what the Scripture says. Look at what the Apostle Paul tells us here. Look at things from the scriptural point of view rather than from man's reasoning. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then he gives us the reason. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The fact of the matter is this, sin doesn't have power over a dead man. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here. We have been freed from sin. Why? Because we died in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. We are freed from the power of sin because we died with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Notice further, if we be dead with Christ in verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with him. The key for every believer is this. How much do you believe of what happened at the cross? Do you really believe that you died with Christ and that you came up in newness of life with him? The day you accept Christ, God says it is true. That's God's opinion. That's God's decree. But how much do we believe? Because that's the key, beloved. It is only when I believe what God says that it's going to make a difference in my life. That's why we read in verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every Christian must come to face to face with that reality. Do I really believe that I was raised up in newness of Christ with life? I can promise you, if you do believe that, there will be a difference in your life, and you will cease from sin. That is the promise of the Scripture, and we find it in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Thus, we have been freed from sin, not free to sin. Sin's the greatest bondage you can be in. God freed us from that. And when we believe that wonderful message, then we are set free. And that becomes a reality. This brings us to the second realm here in Romans 8, 3 once again. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Sin is found only in one place. It's in our flesh. If we can get rid of our flesh, if we can be freed from the dictates of our flesh, we have victory over sin. Now, what is our flesh? Our flesh, our old man, is that old nature with which every one of us were born, It is that nature which makes men do the ungodly things they do. Every one of us were born with him. But you see, when we accept Christ, we are born again. He gives us a new nature, and thus we are to be under new management. This new life of Christ, this new life in Christ, is now to control every part of my life. That's why we have victory. We have freedom from the flesh. Flesh is really composed of two elements or two types. There is the wicked, immoral, worldly, ungodly flesh that most men despise. And those things are named as fornication and murder and adultery and all of these various things. That's one part of the flesh. Another part of the flesh is religious flesh. We will see that shortly. But the pattern for victory is the same for all of them. And here it is. If you will go down to verse 10. And if Christ be in you, remember the fact that Christ is in us, the fact of the new birth, places us in Christ, a new place, a new position. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that verse simply means this. The day we accept our Lord Jesus Christ is the day we have eternal life. Our spirit is alive in righteousness unto God forevermore. But what does he mean when he says the body is dead? It means that this mortal body is still under the sentence of death. Take the most godly, wonderful, spiritual Christian that you know. And we have seen it much in these last few months and years. They die. Physical death is still a reality to this body. If Jesus be not come, many of us are going to go by way of the grave. It's called by man death. God calls it a sleep. The victory is still there. But the point we are making, this mortal body is still subject to death and the effects of death. But I want to notice a wonderful point here. You will notice, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The body is still under the sentence of death, but bless God, when we have the Spirit of God, he quickens these bodies even today. We know he quickens them with good health many times. Divine healing is a glorious part of the gospel. We pray over and over for people, and we hear testimonies of those who have been raised up and healed in this body that is under the sentence of death. But I want to go much further than that in doing this victory over sin and over the flesh. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. Therefore, he means, because the Spirit of God is dwelling in your body, therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. God is saying to us, we can live in this mortal body and we do not have to commit sin. We do not have to be bound by sin. We are freed from the flesh, and indeed from sin. Verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. And do you know that's been proven many, many times? I can tell you, even as a Christian, I tell you, not simply tell you, but warn you, young people, I am especially talking to you this morning. You need to commit your life and your body unto the Lord. If you live after the flesh, you're putting yourself at risk. We have seen many good Christian young people who have given themselves to the ungodliness of drugs and alcohol and other ungodly lifestyles, and they wound up dead. The scripture means exactly what it says, and it doesn't ask questions or argue about it. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But you have another alternative. If you, through the Spirit, this Spirit that is indwelling your body, if you, through the Spirit, do mortify or make to die the deeds of the body, you shall live. The power of the Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome any addiction or weakness or any other part of the flesh that you contend with. The power of the Holy Ghost will give you the power not to do it anymore. That's the simple truth of the scripture. And it's all because you are in Christ, and the flesh will have no more rule over you. Then you will notice, as we go back to verse 3, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. This time these words are exactly in the right spot. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we walk after the Spirit, the righteousness which the law demands will be produced in my life. But this is where I want to notice that God has delivered us, set us free from religious sin. And there are many Christians today who do not like to admit that if you are walking after the law, you will be walking in sin. There are those who will stand up and fight you on this point, but Scripture is very clear, as we hope to demonstrate. Our victory or our freedom is because we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let us see what the Scripture says about the law, which is the ultimate of religious flesh. Let us turn to the 5th chapter of Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 1. Paul tells us here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what the yoke of bondage is he's talking about there? It's the law. These Galatian Christians, they had been born again, but they had some Judaizers that came down from Jerusalem and tried to convince them they had to be under the law in order to be fully made righteous. And that is absolutely not the truth. Galatians 2:4 says this about false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out what? Our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That surrounds the meeting that they had in Acts 15, trying to find out whether the Gentiles should be circumcised or come under the elements of the law in order to be admitted to the Gentiles. And they decided, no, that it certainly is not. And now then Paul comments on it further and tells us, God has given us liberty in Christ Jesus. And that liberty is because, once again, we are in Christ. They came to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ. I want to notice some facts concerning the law. The law is after the flesh. That's according to Galatians 4:22, where we find out that the law is likened unto the bondwoman, that is, Hagar. And he that was born after the bondwoman is of the flesh. Another fact, search through the scripture anywhere you want to, from the time the law was given down to our day. You will never find where the law made even one purchased person righteous. Notice another fact. The law is not of faith. You will find that in Galatians 3:12. What does the scripture say about that which is not of faith? Romans 14, you'll read it. That which is not of faith is sin. And scripture plainly tells us here, the law is not of faith. Chapter 5:1 that we have just studied. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The law is bondage. Peter knew that. He said it was a yoke which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. Notice verse 2, another fact about the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, that is, if you're under the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. That's a horrible thing. But this is what the scripture declares. If men are trying to make themselves righteous by following the law, namely the Ten Commandments, then you will find out Christ shall profit you nothing. That is really a slam in the face to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 is another. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. We often hear that term, oh, he's fallen from grace. And they talk about those who are out in the world drinking, carousing, and all of these various things. That's not the meaning of this verse. The one who is fallen from grace is the one who put himself under the law. Sometimes people point to James, saying that he contradicted the Apostle Paul, but he did not. James is very emphatic in regard to the law. He is very hard and harsh in regard to the law. And he tells those who are trying to justify themselves by the works of the law, if you offend in only one point, you're guilty of the whole law. It is impossible to be righteous by the law. Scripture tells us that. In another place we find, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know what that means? It means that if righteousness is by the law, if God could bring forth righteousness with the law, there was no need for Jesus to even die. And we know that is absolutely not the truth. And so, in Christ, when we take our place in Christ, we realize the only source of righteousness is our faith in Him. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And this is what we say to everyone who will listen. It doesn't make any difference when you pray about anything. It doesn't make any difference whether you get the answer you're looking for or not. If you pray in faith, God counts it to your account for righteousness. Every time Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. I can promise us the same thing. Every time I believe God, it will be put to the account of my righteousness. And that righteousness is nowhere near the law. It is the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's why I'm saying, beloved, here today, do we really believe that we are in Christ and that we are taking hold of these glorious benefits that we have directly because we are in Christ? If that is true, your righteous account is growing in the sight of God. Then we come to verse 5 of Galatians 5. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This is exactly what we had back in Romans 8. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I like to say it like this. When God found a way to produce His righteousness in us, it's the same righteousness that the law demanded. God didn't detract one bit from it. God just found a way to produce that righteousness in us without the law. And without the law means it is produced in my life and in your life by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been raised up in newness of life with Christ, and He will give us the most practical, righteous life, even like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find that we are freed from Satan. Now in Romans 8, we find that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Here's what we must understand. The day Jesus overcame death, He overcame Satan. Why? Because death was and is Satan's chief weapon. But we read that Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. And so we find today that we have not only been freed from death, we have been freed from the clutches of Satan. Turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We know that Satan has not yet been put in his place. We know that death still reigns. But you see, here again is where faith comes to the fore. We know, because of what happened at Calvary, that the demise of Satan is as good as done. The complete elimination of death is as good as done. God counts those things that be not as though they were, and we can do exactly the same thing. So this is why that we must realize today, yes, Satan is still alive and well. Satan is still going about in this world as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Perhaps you felt him breathing down your neck lately. But understand this. We have already been freed from the clutches of Satan because of what Jesus did on the cross. Ephesians 6. And notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, and should it be a surprise, be strong where? In the Lord. We are in Christ. And here is the victory that we can expect, that we must have as we are in Christ, in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the key in the power of His might. I can guarantee you, if you go through the experience in Romans 7, you will find out very quickly that you have no strength or power of your own. Paul discovered, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Every Christian must go down that road. And so we find that our own flesh, our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ingenuity is absolutely as nothing. But we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And that is when we will reach this glorious place of absolute freedom from the enemy. Notice what he says. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. This is why we say over and over and over again, if you will study these different pieces of armor that are listed on down here that we are to take unto ourselves, every one of them have a direct link to the Word of God. That's why we constantly stress that we stay in our Bibles, that you stay in the Word of God constantly, that we might be armed against the wiles of the devil. There is no substitute for the Word of God in our lives. And let us understand that it must be a daily thing, not a weekly thing or a biweekly thing, a monthly thing. We must live daily by the power of God's Word. And so, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenlies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And then he names all those pieces. We are freed from Satan because we are in Christ and we can avail ourselves of this might that we are talking about. We will not turn to these, but here are some other verses that are so beautifully applicable in this matter. 1 John 4:4 says it this way, greater is he that is in you, that would be Christ, than he, that is Satan and all his host, that is in the world. Revelation 12:11 says it this way, and they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is simply the day that we realize I am protected because I am under the blood that Jesus shed there at Calvary. I am in Christ, and therefore I overcome Satan. I am freed of Satan. We are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Freed from the power of Satan because we are in Christ. And so in summation, let us understand that we have freedom from sin. We have freedom from the flesh. We have freedom from the power of Satan because we take our place experimentally in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and thus I can have all of these glorious benefits and freedom that we have seen this morning.